The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas is Parashas by Yishlach. The Torah tells us, after Yaakov had run away from Esav, and the Chazal say that he went to learn for 14 years by Shem Ve'Aver in that yeshiva. Then he went to the house of Lavan and he spent 20 years there working for Lavan, for Rochel and Leah and the two maidservants, and he had his children there. This week's Pasha tells us about his return to Eretz Yisrael and his confrontation with Esav. Esav was out to kill him, and he was coming to meet him with an army, a mighty army. Actually, the Torah tells us that Vayishlach Yaakov Malochim Lefonav El Esav Ochiv Arzo Seyas Deyadom, that Yaakov sent messengers to Esav as he was coming to Zdeyadom. That's Esav's territory right before Eretz Yisrael. And he told them what to tell Esav. And by Yeshuvu Hamalochim El Yaakov Lemor, and the Malochim returned to Yaakov saying, Bono Elochich El Esav Gam Holech Likros Kovi Arba Meas Ish Imoy. We went to Esav, we did what you said, but he is coming with 400 men. And the Medrash tells us that actually he had more than 400 men. The Medrash brings, let's see if I can just find the Medrash here, Simon Ein Vov, Os Yud Beis, states that Mahu Ba'arba Meos Ish Imo, Omrab Shmuel Banach, Meni Tes Malochim Kesher Iksorim. One opinion was it was 400 crowned kings that he had with him. Each had an army. Another says that he had 400 different types of princes, each with a following. Rabbi Omar Tes Roshe Gayosus Hoye Imai. Rabbi said that he had 400 armies with him, 400 generals, each one with an army with him. So there were more than 400 men. Mikiven Shomro Leli Yaakov Kol Esek Dula Hoya Mishori. And when the messengers told Yaakov, they gave him this information, so he became very much afraid. At any rate, the Torah here relates the confrontation, and there's a great deal that we can learn from this. The way Yaakov dealt with Esav, because it states Maisa Ove Simen Labonim, that what happened with the Oves will happen with the children. And the way the Oves dealt with things, this is a guideline for us how to deal. And Esav was to become Edom. His name was Edom. And he was to be known as the head of the empire of Edom. And from Edom was to come all types of nations such as Romi, Ron, and Amalek. And the main Golus, diaspora that we find ourselves today in, is the Golus Esav, Golus Edom, Golus Romi. That diaspora, because it was 2,000 years ago, that the sons of Esav, Bnei Esav, destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and sent us into Golus. So therefore there's a great deal that we can learn from here. Let's see what we can glean. Vayetzav osam lemor. Yaakov commanded the messengers. Some say they were angels he was sending. Kosomrun ladoni leesov. This is what you shall tell my lord Esav. Ko Omar Abdecho Yaakov. Thus saith your servant Yaakov. He gave Esav a very lavish title. This is what you should say, La'adoni Esav. Esav, this is what you should say to my lord Esav. Ko Omar Abdecho Yaakov. This is what your servant Yaakov says. Medrash brings Medrash Rabbah Os Ein He Perek Ein He Os Vov. Rabbeinu Omar L'Rav Ephes, Rabbi Yehuda Nosi, the great Rabbi Yehuda Nosi, who was a very, very powerful person. He was the Nosi, he was the prince, the leader of all Jewry. He was enormously wealthy. He lived during the time of the Roman Commonwealth. And he was a personal friend with Antoninus, the Caesar of Rome. So Rabbeinu said to L'Rav Ephes, Ksev chad igro min shmi lemaran malko Antoninus. He says, write a letter for me to Antoninus and address it to Maran Malko Antoninus, to our teacher, our king Antoninus. Kom bekosav min Yehuda nesir lemaran Malko Antoninus. So Rabbi Ephes, who was a meshoris, a servant of his, an assistant secretary, so he went and he wrote that this is from Yehuda, the Nosi. This is from Yehuda, the prince, to our teacher, our king Antoninus. Nosba v'kayo v'koro. When Rabbi Yehuda Nosi looked at the letter, he read it and tore it up. Omale, he says, that's not the way to write him. Ksev min abdecho Yehuda lemaran malko Antoninus. Do not write that this is from Yehuda, the prince, to our teacher, our king Antoninus. Right, this is from your servant Yehuda to Maran, to our king, our teacher Antoninus. Omalei, Rabbi Ephes said, Rebbe, vipnei ma ato mevaze al kvedecho. Why are you so light with your honor that you humble yourself? It's enough that you refer to Antoninus as our teacher and our king, our master, but that you even forgo your title of prince and you say, instead of from Yehuda the prince, you say from Yehuda your servant. Omalei ma'a no tav min sabi. So Rabbi Yehuda Anosi answered, he says, why am I better than our grandfather? Lekach Omar, is this not what Yaakov said to Esav? Ko Omar Abdecho Yaakov, that thus saith your servant Yaakov. So this is how Yaakov addressed Esav. Im lovon garti vo echar ad oto, he said, I have dwelled with Lovon and I was there till now. I was delayed there until now. What did he mean by this? Why did he find necessary to tell Esav that im lovan garti, that I dwelled with Lovan till now, but echar ad oto? So Rashi tells us, what did he mean to say? Le nasesi sar v'choshuv. Im lovan garti. Gati is from the word ger. When your person says gor, doesn't mean where I live. It means where I temporarily dwell. If a person wants to say where he lives, then he says dor, from the word diro. But when he says ani gorpe, this is where I am gor, that means where he temporarily dwells. Because it's from the word ger, that means a stranger that's temporarily dwelling someplace. So he said, Dimlovan Gati, I was merely
this whole time. It was a long time, 20 years in the house of Lavan, and 14 years where he had studied by Shem Ve'eva. It was a long time. He said that I merely am a ger, a wanderer, a sojourner. Im Lavan garti, leina say sisar v'koshuv. I have not become the all-powerful prince and king and nobleman. But after 20 years away, and another 14 years away, okay, I'm still nothing. I'm a sojourner. This is what he told him. Then, he said, Bahili Shor v'chamor. I have Shor and Chamor. I have oxen and I have donkey. What did he mean to tell him with this? So Rashi brings Abba Omali me'ala shomai mushmani oretz. Our father Yitzchok blessed me and he said that you will have from the fat of the land, from the best of the heavens and the fat of the land. He says, I have neither from the best of the heavens nor the fat of the lands. I merely have oxen and I merely have donkeys. Now, then he says also, Eved v'shivcho, tzon be'eved v'shivcho, sheep and servants and maidservants. He was making himself look like a very humble person. As far as kovod goes, he was giving a wealth of kovod, of honor and dignity to Esav, and he was making himself look also very, very modest person in wealth. Abba promised me I would have the heavens and earth. What do I have to show for it? He says, a couple of cattle, a few oxen, a few sheep, and a few goats. Now, this was not the case, though. Last week we brought out in the Shir that it states in Lamed Aleph, Mem Gimel, Parshas Vayetze, Vayifrei So Ish, Me'od, Me'od, that Yaakov became wealthy, me'od, me'od, exceedingly, exceedingly wealthy. When the Torah tells us someone became exceedingly, exceedingly wealthy, he was wealthy. He laid tzon rabos, and he had multitudes of sheep, ushvaches, v'avodim, ugmalim, v'chamorim, multitudes of servants and maidservants and camels and donkeys and whatnot. Here he comes along and he says, v'hili shor v'chamor, tzein v'eved v'shivko. So I have a couple oxen and I have a couple donkeys. This is what he told Esav. He says, I have no land. Ainli karka. Wealth, he says, is not in cattle and goats. It's in owning great territories. I own nothing. I'm coming from the house of Lavan and I'm coming back with nothing. Kesev is all. I have no. He's not telling him about his gold and about his silver, umagolias, vavonim tovos, and about all of his pearls and rare stones and whatnot. This he didn't talk about. All right. Then he says, "Ve'eshlecho lahagid ladoni limsochein beinecho." I am sending some servants ahead to meet you in order to find favor in your eyes. What did he mean by that? So Rashi says, "Lahaydia shani bo elecho." I'm sending people ahead to let you know that I am coming. Shani sholem imoch umevakesh avoscho, to let you know that I have peace of mind with you. I have nothing against you. I have peace of mind and I want peace, and I'm looking for your love and peace. then when the angels returned and they said that he's coming with these 400, not necessarily men, but 400 armies he's coming with. So he said, Vayolen, this is in Posuk Yudalet, Vayolen Shom Balaila Uva Yikach Minabov Yod de Minchal Esavochiv. That night, he prepared a mincha, a gift for Esav. And the Torah tells us the gift. This gift, the Chazal tell us, was not the ordinary gift at all. Easy Mosai Mushosi Mesri. 200 goats, 200 female goats, and 220 male goats. Then the Rechelim Osaim, Be'elim Esrim. Then the Rechelim 200, Elim Esrim, Gemalim, with camels and cattle and whatnot. If you count up what he sent, there were 550 animals. Then it states, Vayikach, Min habob yodei min chalei savochi. If he took from what comes into his hand, so the Chazal Dashan Rashi brings, he took what you carry in the hand. Avonim tevis u'margolias, she'odem sor b'tzror, precious stones and gems and pearls. Generally, when you send a gift to a person, the custom was you bring him an animal. You bring him perhaps two animals. The Torah relates the Gemara in great elaboration, the enormous Suda, the enormous feast that Abraham made for the three Malochim, the three angels. There it says that he shechted three oxen for them. I remember I knew a man in America. He had come from the area of Czechoslovakia. And he was a butcher. And the local Rebbe, who was very, very powerful, had a big following, was marrying off a daughter. So it was becoming a big event. And there was the Porutz. The Porutz was the prince, the landowner. Many sections of Europe, Jews were not allowed to own land, so they were tenant farmers. And they worked for the Porutz, the noblemen who owned enormous parts of land. So he said that the Porutz sent a gift for the wedding. What did he send? He sent a deer. That was his gift for the wedding. Why was he telling me this? Because he being a butcher, the Shechtim called him in to help shecht him. And he says, wait, did they have trouble to shecht that deer? Because the deer had very, very, very sharp cloven hoofs. They couldn't kill him, they had to shecht him. And the deer wasn't cooperating. But at any rate, this is the type of gift you gave. You gave an animal, you gave two animals. Here Yaakov prepared 550 animals. And he sent them in herds. And he said, Revach tosim ben eder le'eder. He says, don't bunch them up. Send one group at a time. So when Esav will see one, the whole impact will be absorbed by him before he sees another one. When you see all at one time, you don't absorb it all. And then he'll see another, and you give him more time, and again the whole impact will be absorbed until he sees another one. And this from here the Chazal say, Mikan hiskin atzmai ledoren. Here we see that Yaakov prepared for Esav a lavish gift. This was one of his plans of the strategy of meeting Esav, and also before he met him. The gift went first. He didn't bring the gift himself. He wanted all of these gifts to come to Esav before he would actually meet Esav himself. Now, this needs explanation. What was he telling him these things for? I stayed by Lovan, Garti, and so forth. Yeshli Shor v'chamor. All right, we'll explain it in a few minutes. But there's more. The Chazal bring other droshos. that when Yaakov said this to Esav, he had several meanings in mind, several messages he was sending over to Esav. Eidor Shuchazel. He said, Im loben gati vo echar ad oto. Rashi brings, Garti is from the Osius Taryag. Im loben horoshi garti ve taryag mitzu shomalti. I have stayed with Loven Horosh, or Loven the wicked person, for many years, and even though I was in his house for many years, I kept the Taryag mitzvahs, the 613 mitzvahs. Belei lamareti mimaisov horoim, and I didn't learn from his maisim haroim, from his deeds. This is what Yaakov meant when he said, also he meant this, im loven galti. Now here's another question. What's he telling Esav? He's telling Esav, I kept all the mitzvahs. Esav's interested in that. I stayed with Lovan for 20 years. Entire Yag mitzvah shamati. I've kept all 613 mitzvahs. This would interest perhaps someone else, but not Esav. All right, we'll go further. Vo'echar aroto. And I have tarried until now. We know that he tarried until now. We know that he's only coming now. So what's he have to tell us? Now, he's saying that I did not come until now. Only now I'm coming. Why is Yaakov coming now? The Torah tells us, when did Yaakov decide to leave the house of Lavan? It states in last week's Parsha, Posuk Chof Hei, Lamed, Perek Lamed, Posuk Chof Hei, Vayika She Yoldo Rochel Es Yosef, Vayomi Yaakov El Lovan, Shalcheni Velcho El Mekemi La'atzi. When Rochel finally gave birth to Yosef, now Yosef was way at the end. Yosef was the 11th son born. And there were 11 sons born in the house of Lavan. Of the 12 sons, 11 were born by Lavan. And one was born later, after the confrontation with Esav, after they came back to Eretz Yisrael, that was Binyamin. So Yosef was the last son to be born in the house of Lavan. And when Rachel gave birth to Yosef, Yaakov said to Lavan, I want to go back. This was the Echar ad Oto. I have waited until now. Until Yosef was born, I could not come back. Now that he's born, I can come back. Edain le'neilet sitno shel Esau ish. Medrash brings here in Perekain hei osvov. I couldn't come back because I didn't have Yosef. And without Yosef, I was not capable of meeting you. But now that Yosef is born, I'm capable of meeting you. What did he mean by that? So he was sending Esav another message. Mesedes he she'ein Esav nofel el biyad boneu shel Rochel. Medrash tells us that we have been taught that Esav will not fall into the hands of Yaakov except through the children of Rochel. Rochel had two children, Yosef and Binyamin. And the downfall of Esav eventually will come through those children. As it states in Yirmiyahu, Perek Mem Tes Posukhov, Im lo yishovum tzi'irei hatzon. If you will not, see, it brings Lochein Shumu Atzas Hashem Asher Yoatz El Edom. Therefore, listen to the counsel of Hashem, which he told Edom. Im lo yishovum tzi'irei hatzon. You will be dragged down by the youngest of the sheep. And the youngest of the sheep, the Medrash says, Loma kere se tzire ason she'ein tzireyem shel shvotim. The youngest of the sheep are the youngest of the shvotim, the youngest of the tribes. The youngest of the tribes are Yosef and Binyamin.
So therefore, Yaakov was saying, "Va'echar ad ato, I could not come back until now, because Yosef was not born yet." Then he went further. When he said, "I have shor v'chamor, tzon v'eved v'shivcho," he had other intentions in mind also. Shor zeh mashuach milchoma shenema b'chor shor hodoloi. The Medrash says, O Zion. The shor, the axe, refers to when Klal Yisrael would go to war, there would be a Mashuach Milchoma, there would be a Kohen who was anointed for the purpose of leading them to the war. This was the shor. Chamor, the donkey, this refers to the seed of Yehuda, the Melech HaMashiach. As it states, Oni Verechev al Chamor, he will appear riding a donkey. Eved v'shivcho, I have servants and maidservants. This refers, Tzon refers to Yisrael. The Yisrael, my sons. Eved v'shivcho, this refers to the power of tefillah, as it states that when one appeals to the Almighty, Hine ke'enei havodim el yad adonehem, he is supposed to look at the Almighty like a servant or a maidservant. Another medrash in Oshud Beis states, Shor, I have a shor that refers to Yosef. Yeshli shor, v'chamor, donkey, that refers, because Yosef was called Bechor Shor Hodolei. He was the brocha, he was given the brocha of the ox. And chamor, donkey, I have Yisochar. Yisochar was the power of Torah. He was given the brocha, the blessings of the chamor, of the strong donkey. Now, we go further. When they came back and they said, Esav is coming with 400 men, Vayiro Yaakov me'od vayetzeloi. Yaakov became very fearful. He was very troubled. Vayachet esom asher ito. And he divided the camp, the entire camp, into the Shnei Machanos, into two camps. And he said that in Yove Esav al Machaneo Achas v'kol v'hoya Machane Hanisho lifleto. If one camp will come, if he'll come to make war against one camp, then the other camp will be able to escape. Mikan hiskin atzmoy lemachoma. So the Chazal says, here we see he took a second tactic, that he prepared himself for war. And he divided the camps. Incidentally, the Medrash brings here, Mikan lamdu teira derech eretz, from here we learn derech eretz, never to put all of your assets in one bag, in one corner. And this is what Yaakov did. Now, what made him so fearful? Medrash brings in Posuk Bey, in Ein Vav, Osbeis. The 400 men was not making him so fearful, the Medrash says. Yeah, that frightened him. But that wasn't his only worry. He was worried about something else. Omar, kol hashonim halolu hu yeshiv be'eretz Yisrael, teima shubo alai mikeach yeshivas eretz Yisrael. He says, for these last years, I have been chutz l'oretz. I was outside of Eretz Yisrael. 20 years in the house of Lovan, in Padan Aram, Aram Naraim, this is in Choron, in Bavel, this was in Avraham's old Medina. And Esav remained in Eretz Yisrael. He says, it's the 400 men, he says, that we can machen an Esav, with the 400 generals will make an Esav. But Vayetzelo, what I'm afraid of, he's coming with the schus of Eretz Yisrael. What do we do about that?
Shlidim, my Rebbe Reb Gifter brought out once. He says, you see, this chus of Eretz Yisrael can stand even for a Rosh. Yishlam, if he was a tzaddik, all right. Here we're talking about Esav. See, the chus of Eretz Yisrael can help even a Rosh. That was one problem he had. Vayira, this is why he was afraid. Now another problem, the Medrash brings. Kol hashonim halolu hu yeshev u mechaber eserov. For 20 years, Yaakov told Lavan, "Zeh li esrim shono." These 20 years that I served in your house is li; they will count against me. He says the 14 years by shame ve'ever, they won't count against me, because Talmud Torah, the study of Torah, is such a great schus, it outweighs everything else. But the 20 years that I've been in your house, even though I was working for wives and children, their li esrim shona will count against me. Because for 20 years now, I have neglected the mitzvah gedola, the great mitzvah of kibur aveim. Even though he went for panosa, he had to have panosa, he had to have wife, he had to have children. He said, their li esrim shona. And then another year he took in getting back. So that's 21 years. So for 21 years he neglected taking care of his old father and old mother. Yeah, 22 years. 22 years. Took him 18 months to get back. There was a total cheshbon of 22 years. And that's why Yosef was lost from him later on, for 22 years. 22 years, Yosef was lost from him. And Yaakov knew that would happen. That's why he told Lavan, he didn't say in one pasuk, he said, Ze Esrim Shona, but in another pasuk, he said, Ze Li Esrim Shona, in last week's parsha. They will count against me. Because even though he was working for Kula Mitzvahs, working for Rachel, for Leah, for the children, it still was not a great enough schus to protect him from not giving honor to his father and mother for all of those years. And therefore Yosef went away from him for 22 years. 14 years in Shem Ve'eva, that was not Li, that didn't count against him. But meanwhile, Esav had stayed by Yitzchok and Rivka and had taken care of them for 20 years. And we learned in a few weeks ago in Ashir, we learned of the great Mechaber Avraham. Esav was the genius when it came to taking care of his father and mother. So that was Vayira Vayetzer. He said, look, the 400 generals that we can make an Eitzah. But what about this? He says, for 20 years now he's been taking care of Yitzchok and Rivka. He says, Kol hashonim halolu hu yeshev v'mechaber eserov teimar shubo elai mikeya kibur aveim. He will come now with the schus of kibur aveim that I don't have. So now he's coming with the schus of Diras Eretz Yisrael. For the last 20 years he's living in Eretz Yisrael and I'm living in Chutz Loretz. And he's coming with the schus of kibur aveim. For the last 20 years he took care of Abba v'Imo and I didn't. Vayira vayetzer le'me'od. That is what concerned him. He became very afraid. Now, these were the discussions that were going on between Yaakov and Esav. To get a little better explanation than this, we have to understand Yaakov and Esav very concisely. Because we've spoken about these things many times before. The main power of Yaakov was that he is the Baal Elam Habor, Olam Ha'Elyon. Yaakov was to become the great spiritual giant. The giant of the spiritual world. The main keach of Esav, the main power of Esav, this to the contrary, he was going to become the giant of the physical world, of this world. This is why we find that when Rivka was pregnant with these two, and there was tremendous turbulence, it states, they were fighting to conquer the two worlds. Each one was contrary to each one. Each one wanted everything. One was emerging to become the giant of the spiritual world, and the other was emerging to become the giant of the physical world. They finally came to a compromise. They made a settlement between themselves, where there was no longer nisraitsis, there was no longer fighting. They made a peace treaty. Where was that? That was in Parshas Toldos, where it states, "Vayozid Yaakov Nozid, Vayavo Esav Min Asodev Hu Ayef." This is in Parshas Toldos, Posuchof, Perechofe, Posuchof Tes. Yaakov was making a porridge. His grandfather Avraham had died, so his father Yitzchok was sitting Shiva. He was bringing a Sudas Havroi, he was bringing the customary meal to his father. He was making the porridge, and Esav had come famished from the Shoda. It states that that day Esav went and he killed Nimrod, he did all kind of avedas that day. And he said, "I am starving, give me from that min ha'odoim ha'odoim hazeh. Give me from this red porridge." And Yaakov said, look, he says, Yaakov saw this was an opportune moment. He said, "I'll give it to you, but what will you give me in return?" She said, "What do you want in return?" He said, "I would like Michra Kayemes Becheiros Choli. Sell to me your firstborn birthright." Esav asked Yaakov, what is the birthright? He was the firstborn, the oldest. What are its privileges? What do I get for it? So Yaakov answered, you get mitzvahs for it. You get the schus, just like a kohen. Today, it states the kohen is rishon b'chol doveshep kedusha. Whenever it comes to anything, any mitzvah of kedusha, the kohen has preference. You call him to the Torah first. You let him bench first. In the Beis Hamikdash, he brought the korbanos, he brought the sacrifices. He had preference. Rishon b'chol doveshep kedusha. Yaakov said, that's what you get. You get the opportunity to fulfill all of the mitzvahs. Esav said, so I'll have the opportunity, but what will I have from it? He said, what do you mean what you'll have from it? What do you mean what you'll have from it? You'll have olam haba, you'll have the world to come. So Esav answered, he says, "Hine anochi holech lamus. I am going to die in this world. Veloma zeli bechora. So what do I need it for? The next world." He says, "The next world is of little concern to me. I'm concerned on this world. And in this world I'm going to die if I don't have what to eat. And you're telling me what I'll have in the next world. I want to know what I'll have in this world." So Yaakov said, okay. He says, "I'll give you this world. Whatever I have in this world, I'll give you. You give me whatever portion you have in the next world." He said, "It's a deal. It's a deal." Vayema Yaakov Ishovali. Yaakov says, "Swear to it." Vayishovalo. He swore to it. Vayimkor es becheirose le Yaakov. He sold his firstborn birthright to Yaakov. Whatever I have for the next world, I give you. Yaakov nosan leisov lechem unazida doshim. And Yaakov gave him whatever he had in this world. He gave him bread. He gave him the porridge. Vayechal vayesht. And he ate and he drank and he was happy. Vayokov vayelach. And he got up and he left. Vayivas esav es habachora. But he shamed the birthright, because he should sell his next world for eating in this world. Mikan, from here we see that he was kefir be'ilam abon tkiyas ha'meisim. Next world meant nothing to him. Then it states that he was called Al-Kain Korosh by Edom. This is why they called him red. This is very difficult, because it states that because the porridge was red, they called him red. He should get a name, Edom Red, because the porridge was red. What does that have to do with it? The answer is this was not just a maisa of someone giving soup to someone else. This was a deal between two giants of the world. These were territorial concessions. You have the next world and I'll take this world. And they made peace with each other. And this was made over the porridge. And Edom, the Medrash brings in this week's parsha, because it states that where did Yaakov meet Esav? It says, Vayishlach Yaakov Malochim Lofone Valesav Ochiv Atso Seir Stei Edom. In Seir, which is this field of Edom. The Medrash brings who Edom? We find that Esav was called red, Tafshilo Edom. We find his food was red, because this deal was made over Nezir Adoshim, over this red porridge. Arce Edoma, we find his land is red, because it's called Ste Edom, it's a red field. Giborov Edomim, we find that his strong men were red, Luvushe Edomim. They used to wear red uniforms, red shields. Red uniforms, red shields. And then the Medrash brings a posuk and everything. Now this is important. This is an insight into Esav. But what is the significance of the Edom? The Maral brings, it states that the Shemesh, the sun, is red. When we look at the sun, we can see the redness. Sometimes it's so bright we cannot see it. When it sets, we see it. But the Chazal tell us that if you would be able to examine the sun, you would find it's made of red matter. Esav, he was Ochiv HaGodl, he was called. The big brother. The sun was called the Mor HaGodl. The big, the great light. And the sun is the most forceful and driving power of the physical world. And Esav, that was to become the master over the physical world, therefore identifies with the sun. Also, they say the Roman calendar goes after the sun. It says Yaakov is Lalavono. Yaakov was compared to the moon. What color is the moon? The Chazal say the moon is white. That's why it's called Levono. Lovon. It's white. Yaakov was known as the Ochiv HaKotn, the smaller brother. And the Levono was called the Mor HaKotn, the smaller light. And the white always represents something which is beyond the physical world. Something which is tohor, pure, and it's abstract from the physical world. In this world, it's the Mor HaKotn, it's the smaller light. Because in this world, Esav is the boss. That was the deal. I give you this world and you give me the next world. So therefore, Esav is the boss. But the power of the Levona, of the moon, is Lishchadesh. The sun doesn't become bigger. The sun remains the same. The moon is always becoming bigger. It'll go down, it can vanish, but then it comes back. Osid lishchadesh. That's the power of the Levono. That's the power of Yaakov. That even though in this world he could be small, but he's osid lishchadesh. Eventually he will become big. And like the tefillah, we say to the Levono, that he'll even become greater than the sun one day. So this is why Esav it states, his name was Edom, his land is Edom, Tafshilei Edom, his food was Edom. Because Esau was this world. Now, that was a good deal they made. And Esau was happy with it. Yaakov was happy with it, and Esau was happy with it. Because Yaakov saw that this world is nothing but an outer shell of a great fruit, and the fruit is the spirit. This world is a prosder, letarkalim. It's merely an antechamber to a great palace. So Yaakov was very happy with it. Esau also was very happy with it, because he says, what do I need? Hinne ani ha'ilech lomos. I don't need the next world. See, he also was very happy with it. So everything was fine. After this sale, there were no further arguments, and everything was fine. We know that there's a great hatred between Yaakov and Esau, and between the children of Yaakov and the children of Esau. If everything was fine, where does that hatred come from? The Torah tells us. Last week's parsha, at the end of parsha's told us. It states in Chof Zayin, Posig Mem Aleph, Vayishtom Esav es Yaakov. Esav hates Yaakov al habrocha hasher beirachay oviv. On the brocha which his father gave to him. The hatred of Esav towards Yaakov came because, like he told his father, he stole my brochas from me. Vayeme Esav beliboy. And Esav said in his heart, Yikrevu yeme evil ovi va'argo es Yaakov ochi. My father one day will die. Esav didn't want to bring anguish to his father. He was very close to his father. I'll wait till he dies, and then I will kill my brother Yaakov. So the whole problem, the many problems, the hatred came because he says Yaakov stole my brocha. That he took the birthright. That he didn't hate him, because first of all he didn't want the birthright, and secondly that was a mechira midai to midas sholem. He sold it willingly. But now that he stole my brochas, this I'll get him for. Now, one further point. Just as the spiritual world is the great force, the driving force over the physical world, Yaakov, that was to inherit the spiritual world, was to become the driving force over Esav, who was to inherit the physical world. And this is why we find that Yaakov started out with the name Yaakov, which is from a heel, a lowly heel. But in the end, in the parsha, he's called Yisrael, because he fought and he was victorious over the angel of Esav, Sorisa imanoshim velakim vatuchal, that you were able to fight with angels and you were victorious. And this was the nevuah, the prophecy which came to Rivka, which states, "Barav Yavei Tzvir." In the end of days, the older one will serve the younger one. And this was the brocha, the blessing, which Yitzchok gave to Yaakov, was having Vil Achicha, that you will be a master over your brother. And when Esav came and he said, "Father, don't you have a brocha for me? Did you give everything away to him, to the thief?" So Yaakov said, I have a brocha for you. Al charbachotichya. You live by the sword. You're from this world. This world, how do you win? You win with the sword. So al charbachotichya. You live by the sword. But, he said, Hakol kol Yaakov, Vayidayim idei Esav. Kishakol kol Yaakov, when the voice of Yaakov is true, the Gemara darshins, what is the voice of Yaakov? Kol Torah v'kol Tfilo. The voice of Torah and Tfilo. Then ein hayadayim yidei Esav. Ein yidei Esav shaletz ben. Then the hands of Esav, the sword of Esav, will be helpless. This is what he told them. So Esav said, you're giving me a brocha. You're telling me I'll live by the sword, but at the same time you're telling me that my brother Esav, my brother Yaakov will render my sword helpless. Hakol kol Yaakov, kishakol kol Yaakov, ein yadayim shel Esav, shaletes boy. So what kind of brocha is that? So Yitzchok said, no. There's a time you can become a ruler. What did he tell him? At the end of the brochas he said, this is in Toldos Chof Zayin Posuk Mem, Bohoyo kasher torid ufarakto ulei me'al tzavarecho. Bohoyo kasher torid. The Targum says, when his yabrun b'nei al pizgomi araiso, when his sons will not keep the words of the Torah, the mitzvahs of the Torah, then v'sadi nire me'al tzavaroch, then you can rid yourself of his yoke which is on your neck. And the Gemara says, Kishe'ein ha'kol kol Yaakov, oz yodayim shaleis of shaletesbari. When the voice of Yaakov will not be the voice of Yaakov, then, heaven forbid, the hands of Esav will be the hands of Esav al charbachotichya. He said, Vohoyo kasher torid, he says, even though al charbachotichya ve'asochicha tavoid, even though you will live by the sword, but you will serve your brother because he is stronger than you. But why is he stronger than you? Because the spiritual world is stronger than the physical world. But vohoyo kasher torid, but when he will fall from the spiritual world, he will not keep his komedaraisa, the mitzvahs of Hashem, ufarakto ulei me'al tzavarecho, that will be your chance. Then you can shake off the yoke that he has around your neck. These were the brochas. These were the statements that were given to Yaakov and Esav. Therefore, this was the whole conversation. This was the whole dialogue. The whole intentions in the Pekisa and the confrontation that Yaakov is having with Esav. And what we can learn from this in our dealings with Esav. Firstly, he came and he said, Kosomar. He says, this you must tell my brother Esav. Kosomrum ladoni Esav koamar abdecho Yaakov. He says that you address him as the Lord and the King. And you say, this is what Yaakov, your humble servant, is saying to you. Because in this world, you have to be chelik kovid. In this world, you have to give him honor. He says, because that was the deal. This world is his. Physical world. Spiritual world's mine. That was the deal, and then everything will be all right. But if I am the king in this world, then by Yishtom Esav, Esav hates me, because I stole his brochas and he is plotting to kill me. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda Anossi said that when you write to Antoninus, you don't tell him, Antoninus, Maran, Malko, our teacher, our king, This is why what Yehuda Hanossi writes to you. He says, no, don't tell him I'm a Nossi in this world. Even if I am, don't tell him that. You tell him, Yehuda Abdecho Kosablai. Yehuda, your servant, is writing to you. Because in this world, you have to give cover to Eshov. That was the first thing he said. Then he came along and he said, Im Lovon Gati Vo Echarat Oto. I lived with Lovon. Ger. He says, you have nothing to have against me. You have nothing to be makana, nothing to be jealous. Abba gave me a brocho, which would make me the mighty ruler of this land, of the world. And you suspect that I took your brocho from you. Heaven forbid. Im lovon gati. I'm a simple ger. I've been away for 20 years and 14 years, 34 years. What do I have to show for it? He says, I don't even have a piece of land to live in. Meanwhile, you have stay at home. He says, Lena say Sisar v'choshuv. I didn't become that great king and nobleman. Elager, ein chokadai lishna yasi ala birchas avicho shebeirachani. It's not worthy of you to hate me for those brochas. He gave me a brocha, heavy gvira achecho, that I would be the great master over you. I'm not the master over you. Sharei leinis kaim would be. We see it was not fulfilled. His main intention here was to show Esav that the brochas I never stole from you. They were yours. You have them, and I don't have them. Therefore, im lovon gati, I have nothing. Then he said, "Vayhili shor v'chamor, I have oxen, I have donkeys. No big deal." Rashi brings, "Vayhili shor v'chamor, abo omali me'al ha'shomayim mishmane oretz, zu ein olemin ha'shomayim v'lemin oretz." Abba promised me the world. I would have the heavens and the earth. Continents I would have. What do I have? A few oxen and a few donkeys. He says, this is to be miskana. This is something to envy me for. Forget about it. Va'eshlecho. Now he said, I am sending to you a gift. Yaakov understood that a material gift in this world to Esav has to make an impression. You send spiritual gifts to Esav, you're wasting your time. Because he doesn't want the other world. Don't talk philosophy with Esav. Don't talk ideologies with him. Don't talk ethics with him. That was long ago. Esav said, what are you talking? What are you telling me ethics for? What are you telling me philosophy for? What are you telling me religion? And Yehelech Lomus, I don't have what to eat, and you're telling me religion, you're telling me the next world. I don't want that. You deal with Esav, Nezir Adoshim. There has to be something material, and that has to make an impression, because that's his world. And Yaakov understood that. He said, I'm sending you a gift. And he made sure to make it a good gift. The average person brings an animal as a gift. Two animals as a gift. He sent to Esav 550 animals. And batosem revach bein eder le'eder. The presentation must be proper. First one herd, then wait. Later another herd, then wait. Later another herd. And habobi yodai, he sent him gems and pearls, and he sent him diamonds. Yaakov knew what Esav was and what he was. When you come to Yaakov, later on when Esav said, my brother, Esav was broken down with this. He wept when he saw all of this. And he said, why are you giving me so much? He says, I have plenty, you take it. Yaakov answered, Yeshli kol, I have everything. I don't need it. See, something like that for Yaakov is not an impression, but for Esav it is. And that's what the Chazal say, Hiskin atzmai lidoran. He was giving to Esav from his world. Then he put in an ulterior motive. He put in another meaning in everything he was saying to Esav. He was sending him also now subtle messages. These were the messages in front. But they, inside, he was sending him also subtle messages. He told him further. He said, Im lovan garti, I've been a simple wanderer for the last 35, 34 years. And I was with Lovan. And I kept all of the Torah, all of the mitzvahs. Why is Esav interested in that? Because Esav would not be satisfied with the first answers. He would say, it's impossible that Birchas Abba, that the brocha of our father, should not help for you. That's impossible. He says, don't tell me that. I know that you must have a great deal concealed. Our father should give you a brocha and it doesn't help. He says, it did help. It helped me in Torah. Im lovan gati tayag mitzvah shomati. 20 years I was with that Rosha and I didn't learn anything evil from him, and I kept the whole Torah. I become great in Torah. You see that the Birchas Abba, the brochas of Abba, helped. But not the way you think. They helped in Torah. And this made two impressions on Esav. Firstly, are they helping Torah? All right, that's good. I don't care if you have Torah. That I gave you. So that means that I still have a chance to become the great emperor of this world. Good. Secondly, the Guayi brings out, Esav was a Rosha, but he was not a Shaita. He was evil, but he was not stupid. And he also had a Derech Eretz and a fear for Torah. He said, Yaakov, 20 years in the house of Lovan, and he kept the entire Torah. I have to have respect and fear for a person like that. I have to be careful how I treat him. Because Yaakov, Esav also knew, he didn't want it, but he knew the power of Torah. So this is a hidden agenda, which Yaakov sent to Esav. Then he said, "Echar aroto." He says, I couldn't come back until now. So Esav wants to know, why couldn't you come back until now? He says, because now Yosef was born. I have a son called Yosef. And I have another son called Yisochar. And I have other sons. And they are mighty. They're not great warriors. But they're mighty in Torah. They're mighty in mitzvahs. And when Esav heard this, he had more respect. He says, my brother Yaakov is not someone to deal with lightly. And as the Chazal say, that the house of Yaakov will be a fire, and Yosef will be the flame, and the house of Esav will be the straw. Then, and this is because, in particular, he has a derech eretz for this. Because he knew what his father told him. His father told him, you shall live by the sword, and he will live by the cold, you will live by the hands, and he will live by the voice of Torah. And when his voice of Torah is Torah, then gvir la'achecho, he shall rule you. When his voice of Torah is not Torah, then you shall rule him. So another hidden agenda was coming along. He says, yes, the brochas of Abba did work for me, but not in your world, so don't worry, I'm not taking your world away from you. What I have, you don't even want in my world. But remember what Abba said. Abba said that your sword will not have an effect on me when we have Torah. And today, Tayag Mitzvah Shomalti, I guarded all of the mitzvahs for 20 years, and I have Yosef, and I have Yisochar. I have the youngest of the sheep. Then he said, Limtzochein, I am sending this to you to find favor in your eyes because I want to make peace with you. From here we see that Yaakov held it was possible to make peace with Esav, even in this world. If approached properly, it's possible to make peace. Then when he heard that he's coming with the 400 men, it states, Vayira Yaakov Meod Vayetzele. He was very afraid and very worried. The Medrash says not from the 400 men or the 400 generals. Because that's the Yadayim Shel Esav, the hands of Esav. The hands of Esav we don't have to fear when we have the Kol Torah. What was he worried? He says, I'm afraid that Esav might have more Torah and more mitzvahs than I have. For 20 years, Esav has been in Eretz Yisrael, and I've been Chutz Loretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael. He's coming with the schus of Eretz Yisrael. For 20 years, Esav has been serving Abba Vima, and I haven't. That's different. If he comes with the sword, then we can find an Esav. That our Torah will destroy his sword. But if he comes with greater mitzvahs than we have, he says, no, that's not good. That's what Abba said, that Kasher Torid, when we're weak in mitzvahs, Ufarakto Ulay Me'al Tzavarecho, then he will rid himself of our superiority. And he will rise up. Therefore he was very afraid. And therefore, it states the Chazal bring, he had to think of another Eitz also. Hiskin Atzmei L'Mochomo. He thought there might be a war. And if there's a war, there can be casualties. Because we have nothing to fight against the sword of Esav. And he divided the camp, where if one camp will be struck, the second camp will be Leplata, will be able to escape. Then he said, Atzileni no miyad ochi miyad Esav. He prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, save me from my brother from the hand of Esav. Ki yore anechi esei pen yole v'yikanim al bonim. I'm afraid now he will come, and his sword will be the sword, and he will smite. Eim al bonim, mother and sons. Because I'll say now, this was tefillah. This was prayer. Hiskin atzmei legimel dvorim. So we see he used three tactics. One was Dodan. One was to give Esav this world. Second one was Milchoma, in case there should be a war. And thirdly, Tfilo, that he was mispalo to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From all of this we see how we have to deal with Esav in this world. We find from this parsha and from these Chazals that even though it's a halacha, yodua, she Esav seines Yaakov, it's a fact. Esav hates Yaakov, and the children of Esav hate the children of Yaakov. And its manifestations are in many, many awful ways, as we know. But the underlying cause and reason for this is not necessarily what we think. Does not state any place that Esav hated Yaakov until he took the brochas from him.
And there it states, Vayishtem Esav es Yaakov. There it says, right after, immediately after the brocha, it states, Vayishtem Esav es Yaakov ala brocha, asher beiracho oviv, Esav heit Yaakov on the brocha, which he, his father gave him, Vayim Esav belibo, and Esav said in his heart, that, Ahargo es Yaakov ochi, I will kill him. This is the underlying cause. From here it can go anywhere, but this is the underlying cause. And Yaakov was positioning himself for that. Therefore he tried in every possible way to show him, I don't have the brochas. You have the brochas. You have the strength. You have the glory. You have the covet in this world. You have the material possessions. You have the land. I don't have land. I'm a wanderer. I'm Abdecho. I'm your humble servant. I have a few oxen and a few goats. And even what I have, here, you want, take it. That was the first principle we learned. We should know historically anti-Semitism between Yaakov and Esav. We're talking Yaakov and Esav, and that's the last 2,000 years. That's the Western European culture of all of the Torahs that we've had. Historically, generally, they bring, it usually came after a golden era. A golden era of Jewish society, where the Jews rose to great height in worldly endeavors. And this is it. They stole our brocha. It belongs to us. Let us go take it back. This is what's brought in Shulchan Aruch. It states, firstly, don't pursue materialistic wealth. Don't pursue it. It's not our world. This is Esav's world. It's not our world. That was the deal that was made. Yaakov wanted the Becherosei. He didn't want the Nezir Adoshim. Vilna Gaon writes something very, very, very wise. He says, when you choose your friends, when you choose people that you associate with, he says, choose people who are greater than you in wisdom and Torah, and smaller than you in material possessions. Very wise. It's the nature of man to try to emulate his surroundings. You associate with people that have great homes and great chariots and great land and great businesses. This is what you want. You associate with people that have little wisdom and little mitzvahs. It's also good. He says, associate with people who are greater than you in wisdom, who are greater than you in mitzvahs and in deeds, in chesed and stokah, and then you will find yourself constantly trying to emulate them and yearning for that. But associate with people who have less than you materially. Because one is Esav's world and one is Yaakov's world. And this is the message he was getting to him. When there's a golden age, and the Jew rises to great heights, then the Bnei Esav come and say, look, they stole our brochas. Shulchan Aruch has brought, never pursue material wealth. That belongs to Esav. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to you, use it, enjoy it. But Shulchan Aruch has brought, don't flaunt it in the eyes of Esav. Use it with sneus, modestly. Don't flaunt it in the eyes of Esav.
because you will bring forth, heaven forbid, the wrath of Esau. It's just opposite of whatever Yaakov was trying to do. If it's fame in this world, give it to Esau. Let him take center stage. Our center stage is a different center stage. Let him have it. There was peace between Yaakov and Esau before the brochas. Let them have it. If there's wealth, let them have it. That was the first thing. Secondly, Yaakov understood something else. He understood that Esau knew what Torah was, even though he didn't want it. He knew its power from his father, because his father said, "You will be the mighty sword in this world." The armies of Rome were the greatest armies in the last 2,000 years in this world. It was the European wars, which has been a history merely of one war after the other. You will be the all-powerful sword. But the voice of Yaakov, of Torah and Tefillah, he says, that will overcome your sword. From here, Esav understood the great power of Torah. He didn't want it, but he understood it. Therefore, Yaakov projected, your world I don't have. It belongs to you, take it. My world I have. Tayag mitzvah shomarti. Vahili shove chamor. I have Yosef. I have Yisochar. I have Yehuda. This Esav understood. Then he understood, I don't have a chance. Yaakov understood further. If he has more mitzvahs than we have, then we have to worry. Then he was afraid. He says, his 400 generals and his armies, that I have Torah. Chamor, Shove, Chamor, I have Yosef and Yehuda. But what I'm worried about is his mitzvahs. He has greater mitzvahs than I have. He has mitzvahs, Diras Eretz Yisrael. He's lived in Eretz Yisrael for the past 20 years, and I haven't. He's taken care of Abba V'Imo, and I haven't. Then he prepared himself for war. Until then, war wasn't necessary. Why? Because if my mitzvahs are greater than his, what do I need war for? He has no sword. But if his mitzvahs are greater, then he has a sword. Then immediately he divided the camp. He says, there might be war. And we'll have to at least look for a Hatzolah Purta, where at least some of us can escape. As it happened, the plan worked. The whole plan worked. Esav came. It states that when they finally met, he gave him more covered yet, because he lined everyone up, all the mothers and all the children, and they all bowed to him and so forth and so on. And then it states, he was so moved by all of this that he went and he embraced Yaakov. He wept and he kissed him. Because Yaakov understood there are two worlds. And we've made territorial concessions, and that brings peace. The war comes is when we forget these territorial concessions. This was the strategy of Yaakov Avinu, and this is the Maaseh Ovir Siman Levonim, what we have to learn from this in the confrontations of the B'nai Yaakov, B'nai Yisrael, and B'nai Esau.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za, or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.